Welcome to the Reformed Media Review. My name is Camden Busey. I'm here with Jim Cassidy. We have a great book in front of us. We're going to have a brief review, an overview of four views on the role of works at the final judgment. This is a book in the Counterpoints Bible and Theology series published by Zondervan in 2013. Jim, tell us about this book.
Yeah, thanks, Camden. I would go ahead and say to our listeners, if you want to get right to it and right to the punchline, go ahead and pick up this volume. You'll find it to be extremely helpful. In fact, if I were to go ahead and really give a strong promotion on this, I would go ahead and I would say that the introduction written by Alan Stanley is itself worth the price of the book. And the reason why I say that is because Stanley goes ahead and brings you right up to date on the current status of the debates that are going on, particularly between John Piper and N.T. Wright. A very helpful section where he gives you the citations, where you could go to read the original sources, and he brings you right up to kind of that current state of the debate as it's gone on within the pages of various publications. So again, I would go ahead and heartily recommend the book, if for no other reason than to go ahead and read that introduction. It gets you right up to date. This is a brand new spanking book. It's July of 2013. It just came out. Yeah. So it really is a current work. In terms of the overall layout, and I'm not going to go ahead and give a great deal of critical review of this book. We've had recently some very good Reformed Media Reviews. Our listeners may have gotten a little bit spoiled by getting to listen to Dr. Dozel as well as Dr. Oliphant review some books in a very thorough way. Yeah. Really good reviews. It's not going to be nearly as extensive as that. This is going to be a quick overview so that you can get a sense of the book. So anyway, the book has four contributors. The first contributor is Dr. Wilkin, who serves as the director, executive director of the Grace Evangelical Society. He takes the position, if I can go ahead and get this right, I'll go ahead and give you a quote from pages 46 to 47. Yeah. I maintain there are actually two eschatological judgments. This is the, if you haven't realized it already, this is generally the dispensational view that you find out there. Yeah. One for believers called the judgment seat of Christ, 2 Corinthians 5, 9 through 11, and one for unbelievers called the great white throne judgment, Revelation 20, 11 through 15. Yet even if we were to grant that there is but one eschatological judgment, Revelation 20, 11 through 13, does not support the contention that works determine one's eternal destiny. The great white throne judgment underscores the promise of life to all who simply believe. So you've got the two judgments, one for believers, one for unbelievers. The one for the believers is according to works. The one for the believer is according to grace. And so there's a division between the two judgments that are given here by Dr. Wilkin. And Thomas Schreiner goes ahead and he talks about he kind of takes a – well, let me go ahead and give the other extreme position, which is sure. Michael Barber's. Michael Barber is, I believe, a Roman Catholic himself. He teaches at a Roman Catholic institution. He says this on page 180 of the book, "The good works of the believer are the good works accomplished by Christ in him or her. To insist that the believer's works lack meritorious value is to claim that Christ's work lacks meritorious value. To say that believers can perform meritorious works is therefore not to detract from Christ's redemptive work. Rather, it is the denial that believers can do meritorious works through Christ that detracts from his power and glory." So that's very much a Roman Catholic position, one that takes the position that the works of the believer actually contribute towards the meriting of eternal life. Although, of course, he qualifies that by saying that it's Christ who is doing it through the believer, right? So through sanctification, as it were, to use our language, the believer is able to earn his way into heaven. So, but it's an earning that comes and is fueled by grace, which is very much faithful to the Roman Catholic position. So those are the two extremes. And then you have somewhere in the middle, you have two views given to us in the middle. And I'll go ahead and give the one that we wouldn't be as sympathetic with, right? Okay. Which is James Dunn's view on refusing to force Paul's view into a box, right? So page 137, James Dunn says this: "We may find that in attempting to identify the degree of coherence Paul evidently was content with, we force them together, knocking off awkward edges to make them fit with each other. That, too, has been a repeated experience in the attempts to systematize Paul's theology. So perhaps we may simply have to accept, embarrassing as it may be, that we cannot discern an appropriate explanation that is both coherent and satisfying. When Paul saw that his converts needed reassurance, he made one emphasis. And when we saw that they needed to be exhorted and warned, he made another emphasis." So, you know, Dunn basically gives an answer which is kind of like, we can't really come to an answer. It's ambiguous in Paul. It's not really clear. We have to kind of accept the dialectical tension and move on. And so that's Dunn's view. Thomas Schreiner would be the view that we would, I think, be most sympathetic with. And Schreiner wants to say that that obedience is necessary relative to the eschatological day of judgment, and yet it's not necessary in a meritorious way, so that obedience, the works of obedience, are the fruit and the evidence of one's justification that comes by faith alone. Mm-hmm. And so Schreiner on page 97 says this: "The saving righteousness of God given to us in Jesus Christ is the foundation and basis of our right standing with God. But if works aren't the basis, what are they? They are surely necessary, for one is not saved without them. But they cannot be, but they can't be the necessary basis, since God demands perfection and all fall short of what God requires. It seems legitimate to say that works are the necessary evidence and fruit of a right relation with God. They demonstrate, although imperfectly, that one is truly trusting in Jesus Christ." And so I think there Schreiner has encapsulated at least, from what I understand, the mainstream view within Reformed theology, that idea that justification is by faith alone, through grace alone, because of Christ alone. And so the works are reflective of their evidences of fruits of that faith, which alone justifies. To use the language of the Westminster Confession of Faith in chapter 11, and we are justified by faith alone, but that faith in the believer is never alone or apart from works and good works as evidences and fruits, evangelical obedience that is found within the confines and the context of the gospel. And so there's the book kind of given to you in a nutshell, and as such, it's a very helpful book to discern the differing opinions and views that are out there. Obviously, when I endorse the book, as I did at the beginning of this review, that's not saying that I endorse everything that's in the book. Obviously, sure. there are three views in there that I disagree with, and there's only one that I agree with. And of course, Thomas Schreiner does a very fine job at defending the Reformed view. And again, Alan Stanley's introduction is very helpful to get you up to date on the current state of the debate.
Excellent. Again, this book titled Four Views on the Role of Works at the Final Judgment, published this year by Zondervan. This has been the Reformed Media Review. Thanks for listening.